Former Missouri defensive coordinator Ryan Walters has stolen our offensive line coach. This is less than ideal timing for Missouri. Plus, let's talk about the future of Mizzou basketball coming up right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hail you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. Thanks for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube as well. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And you know what? After sweeping Tennessee this past weekend, this might have to become a University of Missouri baseball program, excuse me, as well if they keep this kind of action up. But of course, I got to start with the football team. And that's because, well, some breaking news here. Marcus Johnson, now the former offensive line coach for Mizzou, he's going to Purdue following Ryan Walters, who is recently hired by the Boilermakers as their head coach. And if you've been following this closely, and I was going to bring this up today, regardless if it was official or not, because, well, it was pretty good indication. There's been feelers out there, some rumors out there that Johnson may be moving on with Walters to Purdue, and Johnson's, well, rather notable absence from the spring game, the spring scrimmage that was, well, not attended by any of us, but by some members of the media, everybody noticed he wasn't there. So that's a pretty good indication that he was gone. Now, of course, maybe the obvious question is, did he really leave? Did he want to go with Ryan Walters, or was he encouraged to leave? Well, if so, that would be pretty bizarre timing, right? If Missouri decided to move on from Walters after spring practice, essentially, right at the end there, could spring possibly have been that bad? No, I don't think so. So I don't really, I'm not really understanding what the deal is here as far as the move goes. I don't have any inside information here because, frankly, again, if Missouri wanted to move on from Marcus Johnson, I've got to think they would have done so after the bowl game or perhaps even before that, because now you're in a weird timing period of, well, who do we go out and hire here in terms of offensive line coaches? Because obviously, if you don't, no program, including Missouri, wants to move on and be looking for an offensive line coach at this time of year. But fortunately, it's a higher quality problem for Missouri than it would be most programs simply because of SEC money. Last year, Johnson made upwards of perhaps over $600,000 reportedly per season. That's a pretty penny for sure, and something that most schools can't offer, but obviously the Big Ten can, so who knows? Perhaps Johnson and Walters just have a really good relationship. I honestly have no idea what happened here. I just know that the timing here is pretty odd, but Missouri will be able, will definitely have some options. They'll be able to pluck somebody away for that amount of money, but unfortunately, of course, this is a crucial season for Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri offense, and of course, the offensive line as well. We really need a big-time bounce-back year if you're a Missouri fan. Now, you might be a cynic and you might be saying, well, heck, if Missouri's offensive line was so bad last year, well, what do we need this Marcus Johnson guy for anyway, right? Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've said this before. This is as brutally honest in self-evaluation as I can get. The offensive line and evaluating what those guys are doing right and wrong, especially on an individual level, is not my strong suit. And I'm definitely not qualified to analyze the offensive line coach. Now, as a group, I can tell if you're doing well or you're doing poorly. That I can tell. That's pretty fundamental stuff. But to me, to my relatively untrained eye, I'd say in the 2020 season, Eli Drinkwitz's first season on the job, I'd say Marcus Johnson did a heck of a job under less than ideal circumstances, to say the least. COVID-19, the pandemic was, of course, And the response to it was, of course, causing all kinds of problems in terms of roster management, injuries for Missouri. And, you know, I just think there's never been an ideal situation for Missouri's offensive line. And certainly, again, that 2020 season, Missouri figured out a power running identity that they kind of rode to a surprisingly good 5-5 SEC only campaign last year. So at the same time, though, it's certainly fair to give him his share of the blame for what happened last season. Missouri was just simply not good enough, especially on the ground last season. So given those two analyses, well, I'm not really sure what to believe. Either way, once again, this is just a critical year for Missouri football and for Eli Drinkwitz and his program. To say the very least, the offensive line has got to get better than it was last season. So again, money talks, and the SEC reputation certainly does too. By the way, here's Ryan Walters, a quick quote from him. He says, "It is exciting to be reunited with Marcus and bring him here to Purdue. Marcus is a bulldog on the recruiting trail and commands attention as a coach. His experience as a player and now as a coach will immediately help our guys in the offensive line room." And really the reason I'm not taking a real hard stance, pro or con, on Marcus Johnson is because I've learned over the years just through experience that putting all the blame on a coach in retrospect just doesn't make a lot of sense when you have the ability to look back on these decisions with a little bit more time and perspective. For instance, take a look at Missouri's offense in 2011. Henry Josey, just a massive yards per carry that season. Very end of the season, of course, this is where Josey injured his knee. Well, Dave Yost, in my opinion, that season did an excellent job designing a spread offense run game that was very unique at the time. It was basically jet sweep oriented with Josey. Now you see jet sweeps all over football. So to me, Dave Yost was actually ahead of his time here. But then 2012, the Missouri offensive line was somewhat ravaged with injury. Elvis Fisher in and out of the lineup, mostly out. You know, the quarterback situation injury-wise was a big problem that year as well. But yet somehow Dave Yost got the blame and ultimately ended up moving on from Missouri after the 2012 campaign. Well, enter Josh Henson, who did a good job as the offensive line coach. Now he's calling plays. And heck, I think everybody thought Josh Henson was great after the 2013 season. Maybe a little bit less so in 2014. And then suddenly when the wheels fell off on, again, an injury-ravaged team that ended up having to play a true freshman in Drew Locke at quarterback, all the weirdness of that 2015 season. Well, suddenly, within 2 years, one of the greatest offenses and teams in Missouri history that was led by a universally praised Josh Henson, 2 years later, those same fans, most of them, were ready to drive him to the airport. So it just goes to show you, I don't know, the evaluations there are really difficult because there's so much happening on a football team. I think sometimes we as fans are just frankly too emotional, and we've got to realize that, hey, hopefully the decision makers aren't this emotional and can put all of this stuff in context, because I think as you can see from those two examples, while both of those guys, I think, of course, they deserve their share of the blame for any time the offense sort of goes off the rails a little bit, at the same time, it's never as simple as just, well, it's just one guy's fault. And you know what? At the time, the Princeton game really hurt, but now 3 days removed, I'm over it. I'm psyched for next year now. I'm really psyched to see what Dennis Gates can do for an encore. And when was the last time I could say that this late in March? So let's talk about next year and why I would actually maybe unconventionally bring absolutely everybody back on the roster. That is, if they want to be here. So let's talk about that. But first, I want to tell you the tournament is, of course, heating up. The Sweet 16's happening. So now it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores to three-pointers made. Heck, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a larger payout with a same-game parlay. And I got to tell you, after watching the World Baseball Classic, had to check in on some odds to win the divisions this year in MLB. Cardinals, your favorites in the NL Central, minus 130. My Royals, however, plus 35 to win the AL Central. Good luck there. But you know what? No matter what you're into, don't miss your chance at a no-sweat first bet. Up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Tired of all those crummy newsletters cluttering your inbox? Well, how about get one that isn't going to clutter things up and actually give you important information? Go to LockedOnPodcasts.com/newsletters to check it out. And you know what? Like I said before, I'm over the Princeton game. We're not talking about it anymore because this program seems like it's in really good shape right now. Again, who could have imagined the beginning of the season? I know it's been said many times, but 25 games, round of 32, you're telling me each and every one of us who is listening to this podcast right now wouldn't have signed up for that? I think we all would have. So the question remains, who comes back on this roster next season? Well, first of all, I just want to say I would actually bring back every single person on this roster who wants to be here. And that includes Ronnie DeGray and Caleb Brown, who obviously at the end of the season, well, DeGray was hurt, and Caleb Brown was just basically permanently attached to the bench without much of a sign that he's ever going to really contribute much to this program. So obviously, in a cynical world of college basketball in which we all now reside, a lot of people, a lot of coaches, a lot of programs would maybe subtly or not so subtly encourage that type of player to move on, find another program, or transfer. Well, in my opinion, and maybe this is me just being a Pollyanna, at the very least old school, I do think there's value in keeping your program's word. I think parents of players, parents of recruits should notice that kind of stuff. I don't know if they do or not. I don't know if it ultimately does matter or not. Maybe they're just going to chase, you know, whatever the latest NIL bag is. And if they do, I can't say I blame them for that. But I will just say it's been really nice to see true bonds that have clearly been formed on this team over just the last 10 months or whatever it's been. I believe less than a year this team's been together, more or less. But obviously, there's just plenty of love to go around from this squad. You see it all over social media. All these guys just saying that we're going to be brothers forever and all this stuff. And to me, that's not corny at all. That's all very real. If you start, you know, encouraging guys to seek opportunities or whatever, though, who are on that team, whatever euphemism you want to use, to me, doesn't that undermine all of this camaraderie and bonds? One of the biggest things about this program, you keep hearing all these guys talk about how connected they were and everything. Well, again, if you just tell Caleb Brown and Ronnie DeGray, hey, see you later, just because we've got some supposedly more important guys coming in, I do think there's something lost there. And I know Dennis Gates is a data guy. And on a spreadsheet, again, inserting this player who's more productive and getting that player out makes all the sense in the world. But I'm pretty darn sure that Gates is a human guy, too. And what I mean by that is he's a relationship guy. He understands how people actually work. Again, maybe I'm just completely out of touch here. And maybe kids and parents are more concerned about just chasing the next NIL payday more than anything else. But I'm also a big believer in being different, especially when it comes to being confronted by a Goliath as an opponent. For instance, here's what I'm talking about here. The XFL, the competitor, a different, let's just say an alternate football league. It's not a competitor to the NFL. They're just simply trying to establish their own brand and be successful. And that may or may not work. But St. Louis has worked so far because there's no longer pro football in St. Louis. That's different. The extra point and the kickoff rules in the XFL, those are different too. And I'd argue they should actually scrap this, whatever they're calling, cloud-based replay system and get rid of instant replay entirely. Now, that would be different. In contrast, though, look at LIV Golf. What is different about LIV Golf so far? And despite the fact that they've spent billions and billions of dollars in comparison to the XFL, well, what have they gotten out of it other than a really crummy TV deal that barely gets ratings? But back to the point, my point is I think Missouri, while can certainly be a top 25, top 20 type program, at the moment they're certainly not a blue blood by any stretch of the imagination. They're not Kentucky. And I had Kentucky fans in my mentions acting like, well, you know, if we want Kobe Brown, we can pay whatever NIL money we get next year and we can just grab him or whatever the deal is. So I don't think that's true, by the way, in his specific case, but I can understand why they're that entitled and they think that way. But you know what? Coach Gates has a chance to establish what kind of program he wants this to be right now, this offseason. Will we just be another NIL transfer factory like everybody else? Or maybe we want to build something with a stronger foundation that actually stands out a bit from the crowd. It'll certainly be an interesting offseason, I'll say that. And like most Missouri fans, I certainly wasn't a huge fan of how Mike Anderson left the program over 10 years ago now, but I have to say, St. John's, you're going to make me take Mike Anderson's side, aren't you? So allow me to explain that after these quick messages. By the way, speaking of St. John's, their legendary coach Lou Carnesecca, still alive at 98 years old. I would have probably lost that bet if you'd asked me. So good for Lou, but you know what? I thought it was interesting that he said it was basically Rick Pitino or bust for his once proud basketball program. The Chris Mullen thing didn't work out. Obviously, the Mike Anderson thing didn't work out either. And as for Rick Pitino, I guess considering how scuzzy this program looks right now, I guess this is a match made in heaven. All I can say to all of you New York City waitresses out there in near St. John's campus, well, just don't stick around with him after hours. That would be my particular piece of advice. But for St. John's to say that they're withholding a massive amount of money that they absolutely, in my mind, as far as I can tell, owe Mike Anderson. They're saying they're firing him with cause, basically because, oh, I don't know, he didn't win as many games as they would have liked. And, well, some of you might be saying, yeah, that's right, that is for cause. Well, this isn't an opinion thing. This is a legal thing here, folks. This is contractual language here. In order to be fired for cause, you got to pull a Chris Beard. You got to do something illegal. You got to, I don't know, run afoul of the NCAA, perhaps the FBI, I don't know, like Bill Self has. But instead of firing him for cause, which would have been totally justified in Kansas's case, no, they'll probably just build a second statue. Eh, what the heck? Different rules for the winners of life. Am I right? That's the way it goes. But I just thought it was pretty hilarious that St. John's is trying to wiggle out of its own poor decision. At the very least, you can, I don't know, look in the mirror for a second and say, gee, maybe hiring Mike Anderson, a guy who's basically spent his entire life in the American South and Southeast of this country, oh, let's just transplant him up to New York City. Somehow that didn't just magically work. And by the way, Mike Anderson, his style of basketball may have peaked about 10 years ago as well. So, let's just say, yeah, You can criticize Mike Anderson is my point, but for St. John's to say, oh, we're firing him with cause, you look at all the reasons they list, and none of them are specific that say, ooh, this is scandalous, ooh, this is potentially illegal, ooh, this is potentially running afoul of this NCAA bylaw or that. None of that's there, so sorry. I'm going to say you're going to have to give Suitcase Mike the entire suitcase in this particular case. St. John's. And with all that being said, even though Missouri's tournament is over, of course the tournament itself is still going, so check out the brand new Locked On College Basketball with Isaac Shade and Andy Patton. They got great guests, experts, coaches, players throughout the college landscape. That's Locked On College Basketball on YouTube and wherever you get audio podcasts. So until next time, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked on Mizzou.